Okay, let's get into Sefer Yeshayo, Perek Chaf, the 20th Perek. And this Perek continues a little bit relating to the previous Perek. As we know, we have Prakim having to do with all the other nations of the world. We had Prakim about Bavel, two Prakim about Moab, a Perek about Damesek. And last Perek was about Mitzrayim, what's going to happen in the future to Mitzrayim. So this Perek is also about Mitzrayim, but it's not about what's going to happen, Lasa Lava, but it's what was going to happen in a few years after this Nevuah was given. So just the background to the Perek, we have to remember a story that we've referred to a number of times, which Yeshayahu HaNavi prophesied about. Remember, Yeshayahu was living after the Churban of the 10 tribes, the Aseres HaShvatim in the north, Shomron, those 10 tribes went into Galus. They were sent in by Sanherev, and it was before the eventual Sanherev coming up to Yerushalayim and then getting defeated with all hundreds of thousands of his men dying overnight, and Chizkiyo being saved, and ultimately later, 150 years later, the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So this Perek it tells us exactly when it takes place. Bishnas Bo Tartan Ashdoda. When Tartan is sent to Ashdod, Tartan was an officer in Sanherev's army. Or Sanherev, or in Ashur's army. Bishloach oso Sargon Melech Ashur. When Sargon, the king of Ashur, sent Tartan to Ashdod, so that's when this Nevuah took place. Who is Sargon? The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Sadi Dalad, that Sargon is another name for Sanherev. Sanherev had 8 names, and one of them was Sargon. Palat, Tiglas Palasar, Palansar, Shvansar, Pul, Sargon, Asnapar, Rabba, Viakira. Right, all the 8 names. Says the Gemara. So here, the background of this parak is the 10 tribes have already gone into Galus, and now Ashur is a major world power. Klal Yisrael, who are in Yerushalayim, he's on his way. He's traveling around Eretz Yisrael, and he's wiping out every city. Yerushalayim is going to be the grand prize at the end. But at the time, the Jews in Yerushalayim, other than Chizkiyo is obviously a tzaddik, he's focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the other Jews of the time are trying to get other nations involved. Instead of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're getting the nations of Mitzrayim and Cush. Mitzrayim, they're both south. Cush is one of the countries in Africa. We're not exactly sure which country. It is Sudan, or one of the countries down there, but that's in the south. So Bnei Yisrael are calling south to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, and to Cush to try to save them against the attacks of Sanherev. Then this Perek is all about Yeshayo prophesizing how Mitzrayim and Cush in 3 years from now are going to be decimated. So the people that you think are going to help you, Sanherev is going to wipe them out. So they're not the ones for you to daven to. Right? You have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to these other nations that really have no power. So that is the background. And just a little more specific, again, this is all important to understand the historical context of the Perek. If you remember, in Malachim Beis Perek Yutes, when Sanherev is marching and surrounding Yerushalayim, then he's called back because Mitzrayim is attacking him. And that's why Mitzrayim thought that, Sanherev, Ashur is out, let's go attack his cities. So they said to Chizkiyo, they said, you wait here, don't move, we're going to be back. So they go to destroy Mitzrayim, and then they come back to Yerushalayim. Right? That's what happens in Melachim. Here it is, Malachim Beis, Perek Yutes. Remember, Sanherev is already surrounding Yerushalayim, ready to destroy it, and then they get word, they have to go back home. They have to go back home. Yeshayahu tells them, don't worry about it. Tells Chizkiyo, Tira mi b'nei advar masher shamata, asher gitfu na'arei melech Ashur oti, hidini nosim bo ruach, v'shama shmua v'shav la'artso. They are going to hear something, and Yeshayahu tells the Nevuah then, they're going to return to their land. Right, that's exactly what happened. V'hi paltiv b'cherev artso, v'yashav rav sheka v'chulu, v'yishma el tirhaka melech kush, lemor, hine yatzali lachemitach, the king of Cush. That's who we're going to talk about in our perek. They said to Chizkiyo, don't think we're leaving and you're going to survive. We're going to come back and you're not going to be saved. That's the background for this perek. The Mefarshim, the Radak here and the Radak there, discusses, well, why did Hashem have to wait to perform the miracle of Sancherev, of all of his 185,000 troops, that they dropped dead overnight. Why did he have to wait and delay it for, first he had to go back to conquer Mitzrayim and Cush, and then come back, and then the nace would happen? Just do the nace now. He was already surrounding Yerushalayim. Why do you have to go back? So, explains the Radak there. In Malachim, in Perek Yutes, he has two pshatim. He says maybe it was in order. If you want to look this up, this is Perek Yutes, Pasig Zayin, here in Malachim Beis. Lama lo nakfu az, ela acha halach li lachim melakush. He had to go fight, Sancherev had to go fight Cush, and then come back, and then Hashem killed them. V'atam nira lanu bazeh. Ki sheyeh lahem Yisrael bazeh kushum bizas kushum Mitzrayim. Number one, because now, when all the enemy died, so they have more spoils that Bnei Yisrael can now have. All the spoils of Cush and Mitzrayim, which were spoiled already by Sancherev. Number one. Number two, so it's a bigger nace. A bigger nace. Sancherev was so powerful. He wiped out Cush. He wiped out Mitzrayim. He took their nobles. He took their fighters. And now they're all on his side. They're all on the same team. And then Hashem wipes them out. That'll be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And in that way, that's why he delayed. Sheyiru Cush Mitzrayim haniflaot shasalo avav l'dar sheishmo. Sometimes we find that Nisim are Hugdal, to make a bigger nace. Right? Remember the story in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim by Gidon. Hashem says, I don't want you to fight with so many soldiers. He goes down, he tells them to do the whole charade by the water, how many people bow and how many people kneel. Right? There might be symbolism to that, as we discussed, but it ended up there were only 300. So Hashem says to Gidon, with these 300, that's how you're going to win the war. Right? Perek Zion, Pasuk Zion, in Shoftim. Vayomar Hashem al Gidon, Bishlosh Meos Ha'ish Hamalakikim Oshi Eschem, V'nasati Es Midyan Biyadecha, V'cholam Yelchu Ishlam Kamo. So there's another example where Hashem is trying to be Magdil the Nace. Other times, Hashem tries to be mamit the nace. Hashem tries to cover up, so whoever wants to not believe, won't believe. Like the Ramban says by Kriyas Yamsuf. Why did Hashem make a very strong wind blow? So people could think, oh, what a strong tide today. Wow, amazing. And they wouldn't realize, oh, Kriyas Yamsuf. Obviously, it was Kriyas Yamsuf. But that is different elements that we find. Sometimes be magdil the nace, and sometimes to be mamit the nace. Okay, so this is all background. When the story took place, Yeshayo is forecasting the destruction of Cush and Mitzrayim, who Bnei Yisrael are sending towards. Please help us and save us from Sancherev. Yeshayo is saying, you're silly, you're foolish. Those two nations in 3 years from now, themselves are going to be destroyed. So you shouldn't be turning to them. So here we go. Bishas bo taratan ashdota b'shalach oso sargo melech Ashur. During this interim period, the king of Ashur, on the way down to Mitzrayim, he says tartan to Ashdod, which is also on the southwest. Vayilachem b'ashdod vayilkada bo'ei sahi dibur Hashem b'yad Yishayah ben Amotz. Lemar. Maybe this is talking in third person. Maybe it's just being recorded. Hashem said to Yishayahu now, a nevua, leich upitachta hasak me'al masnecha. Go and... how do you translate bitachta? Machlokes rishonim here. What does it sound like? It sounds like open. Poseach. Open up your sackcloth. What's one interpretation? Sakli al masnecha, v'nalcha tachlotz. Take off your shoes and open your sackcloth. What's going on here? So many of the rishonim, the Radak and others say that since the 10 tribes have gone into galus, so Yeshayo has been in mourning. He's had sackcloth. He's also mourning for what's going to happen, the Churban Beis Hamikdash, which he foresees also. But there's sackcloth on. So what does Hashem tell him to do? Open it up and let everybody see it. What does that mean? Act like a mourner and everybody can see it. Let's keep reading for a second. V'nalcha tachlos mi'al raglecha v'yas kein haloch arom v'yachath. Go walk barefoot, walk naked, not really naked, Rashi says, just means ripped clothing, v'yachev. And Hashem will say, let's read the whole thing and then we'll talk about it. V'yomar Hashem, kasher halach avdi Yishayo arom v'yachav, just like my Navi Yishayahu is walking around barefoot and in mourning, shalosh shanim, in 3 years from now, Os umofes al Mitzrayim va'al Kush. You will see what's going to happen to Mitzrayim and to Cush. They're also going to be in mourning. And they're also going to be walking barefoot as they get led away. Ken yinag melech Ashur, es shvi Mitzrayim, es galos Cush, na'arim uzakeinim, arom v'yachaf. They're all going to be taken away. And he is forecasting, Yeshayahu is acting out. acting out exactly what is going to happen. That's what Hashem tells him. There is a major, machlokas rishonim here. Did this really take place? Yeshayo walked around barefoot in ripped and tattered clothing for 3 years. That's what he did? Says the Radak, it can't be. What a bizayon. What a disgrace. One of the Nevi'ei Hashem is doing this? Says the Radak. Ein lefaresh kemashma'o. Don't explain it like it seems. Shetziva akelas anavi shielach aron b'yachev chalila. He told him to do this. No. This is all in his nevuah. This is all a vision. In his vision, he sees Hashem telling him to do this, and he sees himself doing this for 3 years in his vision. But what's the point? He's supposed to repeat all of this to Klal Yisrael, to tell them, I had a vision that this is what I did. And that's supposed to give them the message. And they all quote that there was in one of the other Treyasar was told to be with an Isha Zonah and have a child. So just like that one obviously had to be a vision. Can't be that a Navi was with an Isha Zonah. So too, this is all a vision. Who is he following? Who is the Radak following? The Rambam. The Rambam is famous. The Rambam is famous for taking many of the stories in Tanakh and saying they never happened. It was all a vision. Adam never spoke to the snake. It was all a vision. And others. Says the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, Achelik Beis, Perek Mem Vav. Says the Rambam, this is a secret. Sometimes the Nevi'im will introduce it with, this is all a vision, and other times not, but we have to know it. Kol ze eino ela b'mara nevuah. Lo shei maisim mitziutiyim b'chushim agluyim. No. V'nizkarim b'sifrei nevuah miksasim b'stam. But they are all dreams, and you should realize that. And he quotes a couple of examples. He quotes the ones that are obviously in a vision. Yechezkel says, I was sitting in my house, and I was taken, and I was flown to Yerushalayim. He didn't actually fly to Yerushalayim. That was a vision. And he quotes a couple of others that have to be. But then the Rambam says, so too by some of the other ones that aren't as clearly a vision. Like this one. He says, V'chalilu lakel, sheyases nevi'av la'ag v'keles l'nevalim. It's impossible that Hashem would tell a Navi to do this, act in such a lowly way. V'yitzaveim la'asos ma'asei shtus. No safal tzivui be'evra. L'fishu haya kohen. V'chayev shnei lavin. He quotes, calls every mara nevua. He says, asher holach avdi yishayo. Lo hayazeh ele b'maros elokim. And he says the same thing, Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, haben ha'ashamayim u'sfar ha'kochavim. What does Rashi quote? The Chazal, Hashem took him up over the heavens. Says the Rambam, no he didn't. He wasn't looking down, it was all a dream that he had, and he quotes this in many of the stories. Gidon with the Giza, with the wool, is it wet, is it dry? Sounds like a real story. Rambam says, no, it was a vision. That's the Rambam, and that's the Radak right here. Says the Abarbanel, I beg to differ. I think the Rambam is 100% wrong, and the Abarbanel spares no words talking about this opinion. He is very upset that the Rambam would say such a thing. And he says, what? It's not lowering the Navi. This is what Hashem wants him to do. V'tama ani me'anashim ha'ela shleimim he'mitanu. Eich yitnu gzeira koleles kazos b'sipurei nevi'im. V'im yesh lanu pesach pasuach la'achish p'shuti ha'sipurim. Read the stories. Okay, the ones that are possible to say happened. So those you have to say there was a vision. But all the other stories, like this one? No. It was an act meant to teach Klal Yisrael. Sof davar, says the Abarbanel. B'makom she'ya'ir ha'kasuf she'nasu ha'dvarim. Ein ra'ui l'chol asher b'shem Yisrael yechuneh. Anybody who calls himself a Jew should not say that it didn't happen. Whoa. L'achisho v'lo meid midome. Haya v'lo nimsa b'mitzius. Kine zeh, he says, b'chlal dvar Hashem bazah magal apanim b'torah. Terrible things, he says. He says it says. He walked around barefoot. You can't believe it? Says the Abarbanel, it happened. And the Ran says, in one of the drashas, he says, maybe it's based on that Ramban. We mentioned this Ramban many times. The Ramban of Parshas Lech Lecha, in the piece on Maisa Avos Simon Labanim, the Ramban says, often Hashem will command the Navi to act in a certain way, to put it into the Metzias, to kind of lay the groundwork for the event to occur. And that's what he says. Kasher teitzi mikoach gzeira el po'al dimyon, tia hagzeira miskayemes al kolpanim. And there are many examples of that we've discussed. Elisha and Yirmiyahu. Right? There are many examples. And so too, that's what many of the avos do. So this is a fundamental machlokes about this perek, and other prakim in Navi, whether they actually occurred or whether it was all a vision in the Navi's mind, and then he was supposed to report that vision and those actions that never really happened. So that's an amazing machlokes right here. So either way, that's the machlokes. Let's go with the pshat that it actually happened. That's what it sounds like from the Perek, the Abarbanel, and the Ran, and maybe the Ramban would say that as well. There's still machlokes. What happened? Was he told to put on sackcloth? Or was he, Rashi says, he was told to put on sackcloth. That's what Upitachta means. And the Ramban, and the Radak says, no, he was meant to open up his clothing so everybody saw the sackcloth. Either way, he was told to do this, and he was meant to walk around, Haloch, Arom, Vayachaf. So again, Arom cannot mean naked. He was not meant to walk around naked. That would be impossible. Rashi says, Bibigadim, Kruim, Ubluim, Velo, Arom, Amish. Right, tattered clothing. Tattered clothing, we know, walking around naked, even half naked, is without a shirt on. You know, it's hard to say that he would walk around without a shirt on. Probably a shirt with some holes in it. Why? We know that that's the Gemara says. Gemara says you can't daven without a shirt on. Maybe say Kriyashma without a shirt on. Well, we know the Gemara Brachas tells us that there are differences in halacha between the Amidah, right, what we call Shmona Esrei, and Kriyashma, the first line of Chafayim and Aleph in Brachas. Aval tefila ad shiyachaseh es libo. Right, you have to have your heart covered. Rashi, Tzarechu laharos es atzmo ka'omeid lifnei ha-melech. You're standing in front of the king, right? Many know the thought of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik in his Sefer on the Rambam. There are two types of kavana. There's kavana of knowing what the words mean, and there's kavana of standing in front of the king. But Reb Chaim wasn't the first one to use that phrase of amid lifnei ha-melech, right? Hundreds of years before Reb Chaim, Rashi says it. When you daven, you have to be ka'omeid lifnei ha-melech, standing in front of the king. So that's also why, besides the fact that, you know, being naked is just impossible here, but he was omeid lefnei ha-melech because that he was obviously wearing clothes. They were just tattered, and that's why it's described as Arum. It's interesting in that in the Gemara about Lag BaOmer, in Shabbos Lama Gimel, the story of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, when he is in the cave, and he stayed in the sand throughout the years because he didn't want his clothing to get worn out, but it says every day when it was time to daven, he got up and got dressed. He came out of the sand. Doesn't say when he was learning. Learning, he could stay in the sand. But when he davened, kulei amagarsi beid in the hole beidan sluye lavshu mirsu. Right, he got dressed. V'matzlu v'hadar, and then he went and matzlu, and then he davened v'hadar. The Rabbi Kiva Eger here on the Gemara says, looked at Tosas earlier, makes it a little difficult because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was terasu umnasu. He never davened. He only said Kriya Shema. So that's a kasha. But either way, that's the related to the word arom. So again, pasuk gimel, vayomer Hashem. Right, we see Yishayo is jam packed. We only did two psukim. Vayomer Hashem, kasher halach avdi Yishayo. Just like you see my servant Yishayo, so too you will see Mitzrayim and Cush decimated. The pasuk here calls Yishayahu avdi, my eved. Only seven people in Tanakh gets the title of eved. Two of them are famous, Moshe and Yoshua. Moshe Eved Hashem and Yoshua Eved Hashem. Right, the Radak in Perek Aleph of Sefer Yoshua says, what is an Eved Hashem? Someone who uses all of his faculties and talents and powers to serve Hashem with. That's the definition of an Eved Hashem. Misha Shom Kol Kocho V'Kavanoso V'Chol Ashkechosav V'Shem Yisparach V'Af Behizasko B'Inyani HaOlam Miskaven La'Avodas Akel Yisparach V'Hu Yikare Eved Hashem Kemo Avraham Avdi, David Avdi, Avdei Hanavim, Shem Kemo HaEved LaAdon. So there are only seven people in Tanakh called that way, right? Yeshayo, right here, Avram Yisrael Yaakov, Moshe, Kalev, and David, right? Those seven, right? Those are the ones that are called Avdi. So here's the time when Yeshayo was called Eved. Let's continue. Cain, Yinhag, Melech, Ashur, Eshvi, Mitzrayim, Esgalos, Kush, Narim, so Mitzrayim and Kush are going to be exiled. And they will be walking around in an embarrassed state. V'chashuvei sheis, erevas mitzrayim. They'll be also walking around with tattered clothing. V'chatu, v'voshu, they will be embarrassed. Mikush mabatam, umin mitzrayim tifartam. They'll be yearning, oh, I wish I was back in Kush. I wish I was back in Mitzrayim. V'yamar yoshev ha'iyazeh. And the people who are on this island, and E is an island. The people on this island, who's that? That the people still in Yerushalayim, the Jews that are left, they'll say Bayamu on that day, in 3 years from now, Hine Koma Batenu, this is what we were looking at, Asher Nasu Shom LeEzra, we ran there for help, Lihi Natsel Mebnei Melech Ashur, Veichni Malei Tanachnu, we wanted Mitzrayim and Kush to help us, to be safe from Ashur, look what happened to them, who's going to save us now? Yishayahu saying to them, this parak is all about, stop looking at other nations, those other nations are also going to falter, they're going to fall, and you only can look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is Bnei Yisrael called Ha'iyazeh? Why is it called this island? Right? Israel's not an island. Right, Israel surrounded on three sides by land, only on the western side. So the Rashi quotes, because they're like an island, Rashi doesn't say it. The other Mepharshim say, an island because, the Abar Ben El says, because they're left out all by themselves. All the surrounding nations hate them. Right? Ad hayom hazeh. Right, we are an island of democracy, an island of humanity, an island of ethics. But that's what the Abar Ben El says hundreds of years ago, and it's what the Yeshayahu says thousands of years ago. Vikara eres Yehuda I ledimyon ki ha'i yisuvev hayam osomi kaltzad ve'elo chibur velo davuk im eretz ma. An island is not connected to any land. Kein haya eres Yehuda shelo hayu lo ahava velo davuk im uma min ha'umos v'kulam hayu sonimota. Kedimyon ha'i asher betoch hayam. Right, Israel is always the island in the sea of nations that want to hurt us. And again, the parak ends off by saying that we're going to say, what happened? These are the nations that we were hoping for. You know, ein lano, the message of the parak, ein lano amili yisha'ein el alavino shabashamayim. You have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yeshayahu was trying to get across to Am Yisrael at that time. Right, don't be scared. There is, we mentioned in the mitzvah shiurim, those who listen to the mitzvah shiurim, they're also in the archives, 613 shiurim on all the mitzvos. The Rambam and the Chinuch count a separate lo saaseh, not being scared during wartime. Not being scared, it's amazing. We have a mitzvah not to be scared. What is that? It's a very hard mitzvah. How can you not be scared? The Rambam quotes, mitzvah nun ches. Shehiz hiranu mi liro min hakofrim be'es hamilchama. V'shalo nivrach mipneihem. Aval chova aleinu lehitzgaber v'la'amot u'lehichazei keneged ha'am. Right, you have to go and be strong and do your best. And the Sefer HaChinuch says also, in Parsha Shoftim, mitzvah tav kuf chafei, mitzvah 5:25. Misharshia mitzvah, sheyesh lekolechan miYisrael lashum lashem yisbarach miftacho. Trust in Hashem. Velo yira al gufo b'makom shiuchal latet kvod al Hashem baruchu lamo. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on the nation. Focus on that you're fighting for Am Yisrael. That's a separate lo saaseh. Amazing. How can Hashem control our machshavas? Right. We have to build ourselves up. Obviously, but we have to have proper bitachon. Like the Chazon Ish writes in Emunah Bitachon. And bitachon doesn't mean everything's always going to work out perfectly well. It just means that I know Hashem's in charge. I know Olam is under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rule. That's what I have to remember, and that's what this mitzvah is about. Mitzvah is about always trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and, there's a lot to work on. We worry about a lot of things, right? But we have to do our best to try to always recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. So this parak also gets that point across. When we feel in danger, we have to do our ishtavus, but we also have to turn towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Hashem, we will continue after now. Two prakim about Bavel, two prakim about Moab, two prakim about Mitzrayim. Along the way, we spoke a little bit about Gog and Magog, and we'll get to other nations coming up. Okay, we'll stop here.